College Football Podcast with Herbie and Pollock. Now here's your host, Kevin Nagandi.
All right, week 9 is fast approaching, and I'm struggling with one thing this season. I want all the best matchups, the big ones, but so many are late in the season that things are going a little too fast for me this college football season. David Pollock with us. Do you feel that same way right now?
Yeah, I mean, it's just like Wisconsin and the stuff that happens every week is we only have the tape that we have to compare people against who they've played. And a lot of times that's not very good and it's not good opponents. So we're still scratching our head about certain teams and we do this every year, but you know, we're going to get our answers. We're getting them slowly but surely.
It just stinks though, because one of the big matchups we circled for this weekend, maybe the biggest matchup, we've been talking about this for weeks, is Wisconsin versus Ohio State. What are we going to learn here? These are the top two teams in the Big Ten. You can make a case. And then the Badgers, they were caught looking ahead. And then the Fighting Lovie Smiths, they stun them at home. Were you stunned by anything that you saw? Because to me, the play calling at the end, it was just out of the norm for Paul Christ. And I'm sitting there like, you have the best back in the country and you're not going to give him the ball here to take some time off the clock?
Well, and again, it's cumulative, right? So there was a bunch of mistakes earlier in the game too, where Jonathan Taylor, the game's in hand, you know, they're up 10. He fumbles the ball, you know, on mm-hmm. their side of the field when you're giving up points. I think the more puzzling thing to me was, listen, you go out to win the game. And first of all, Paul Chris has done this all year long. They're going for fourth downs like crazy on this team. They're playing to win. They're playing to control the narrative. They're playing to be aggressive. You can tell it's a different style approach. How about earlier in the game when they're inside the red zone and they have opportunities and they go for it on fourth down and, you know, inside the goal line, actually goal to go, and they hand the ball off to Jonathan Taylor nail times. And he doesn't touch the football. Like, to me, that's more disturbing in those situations. Like, Jack Cohn played a great game. He was very efficient. You want him to go make another first down and salt the game away. Listen, we always do the if we could have done this, if we could have done that game. Jack Cohn made a mistake at the end of the game, execution mistake that he could have done better. But I thought there were plenty of plays along the way that dictated the narrative and penalties and mistakes and stuff that Wisconsin. And I tell you what, Kevin, if you want to talk about troubling,
yeah,
I'm gonna do a breakdown today of tape for College Football Live too. But if you want to talk about troubling, the stuff that Wisconsin struggled with defensively, because we haven't really seen them struggle, it's exactly what Ohio State does. I mean, zone reads, RPOs, it's stuff that's going to be magnified times 10 this week. So it's going to be really, really interesting to watch Wisconsin's defense.
And that stinks this weekend, because I kind of wanted to see Ohio State tested, and that goes into what we just talked about the start here. Like, you want to see these teams tested against good teams. We got a little taste of that with Oregon, Auburn at the start of the season, Florida, Miami at the start of the season, different
Texas
Miami
LSU at the start of the season,
Texas LSU, right? Yep. Like, we got a little taste
of Notre Dame,
we got a little
Georgia.
Florida. Yeah, Florida, Auburn, you just get a little bit and then you're trying to build this story with these morsels, right? And
yeah.
Follow the path of, all right, who's the teams? And then you lose that type of matchup. And then that leads into another big story this weekend. And it's going to be a big story the next two weekends, because the unknown here, we had November 9th circled. LSU going to Alabama. And now what we want to see, I think any fan wants to see in the country, aside from LSU fans, is 100% health on both sides. And we're not going to get that with Tua Tagovailoa. And with that ankle surgery, how does that impact? How does that change what Alabama is going to do? Not this week against Arkansas, but in preparation for that November 9th game.
I get a kick out of people talking and they say, well, Alabama's still got three great receivers. The chicken and the egg debate, you know, you always have that every year. Is it this or is it that? And is it the wide receivers or is it Tua? I think these wide receivers are great, but you know why they lead the country in yak? Is because Tua puts the ball in their dadgum numbers in stride right out of a break. And so I think that you've seen plenty of great wide receivers across the country that you watch them on tape and you go, man, this guy has got some special stuff, but they don't play with a quarterback. How does this offense look without Tua? This is not a smash mouth running offense anymore. Now listen, once Tua got hurt, you could tell. I mean, Tua threw the ball, I think 12 times and Jones threw the ball 11 times the rest of the game for 2.5 quarters or almost 3 quarters. So you could tell there was definitely a shift, and Alabama's defense scored on a fumble return that was, you know, 102 yards and Jeremy Pruitt obviously not very happy on the sideline.
Oh yeah,
with his quarterback, rightfully so. But I just think it's going to be interesting debate to watch this team and what they are. And yeah, it does kind of spoil down the road. But Tua got healthy last year off this same surgery. It was a tightrope surgery on the other ankle, and he came back and he was very, very productive against Oklahoma, and I've struggled against Clemson. I don't think it has anything to do with the ankle. I think he just got beat by a better team that night. But it does take some of the luster off. And here's the thing. I don't know that Alabama has a mulligan. Look at the races right now. ACC, Clemson's in the driver's seat. Oklahoma, you feel really good about them. Those are two teams that the possibility of them getting the playoffs are very strong. So who's left? Ohio State obviously has to, or the Big Ten is going to get a spot in the college football playoff. Well, I don't know that Alabama's going to get a mulligan this year. And especially when you talk about LSU's out-of-conference schedule, when they go play at Texas and have that huge daggum win. So if LSU beats them, and listen, the criteria by the committee that we were told, remember years and years ago, the injuries were a part of the evaluation process, and that's going to be something we evaluate. But I just I don't know that we're not going to get the healthiest version of Tua in a couple weeks when they play LSU. It's not going to happen. It's just – it's not possible off of that surgery, off of a high ankle sprain. So we're going to be interested to see LSU and Alabama, and it will lose a little steam, but it's still going to have plenty of juice.
Okay, so help me understand then. You know, it's really hard to predict too, but hypothetically, can Alabama beat LSU with Tua at 50 to 70%? Or does he have to be above 70% to beat this LSU team? Because many are predicting it's going to be a shootout.
Yeah, I think it will be a shootout. And here's the thing. Great news for Alabama is it's at home. I mean, that makes, again, the hardest thing to do in college football is go on the road and win. That's a very difficult thing to do. So I think it gives them a little bit of an advantage at being at home, but I don't know that they can. And I say that, I still think Tua can sit back in the pocket and not scramble around and slice up LSU's defense and go back and forth. But it's those couple plays when Chaseon comes off the edge and does win, and Tua makes it a step up in the pocket and breaks a tackle and then makes magic happen, you take away a couple of those and it's going to be difficult. But I still think Alabama is very much going to be in that game. It'll be a pick'em type game from that point. Alabama's got some great corners, not good, like great lockdown corners. You know what's going to be interesting too with LSU? LSU has four good corners that I think they can literally do a great job of messing up the rhythm and messing up the timing of those wide receivers and play jam and play press. And shoot, maybe it's not as big of a shootout as we think. Maybe it's a little bit more low scoring, but I definitely think that both quarterbacks have had their way with every defense they've seen.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the quarterbacks. With when you look at the injury to Tua, and Vegas is noticing, because Tua is no longer the favorite to win the Heisman. It's now a tie between Joe Burrow and Jalen Hurts. Who's the best quarterback in the country right now in your mind?
I would take Joe Burrow. From what I've seen from Joe Burrow, he's atop the list, man. He's answered every question, and he's answered it emphatically. And just, I know last week, I know Mississippi State stinks, guys, but after a huge game, when you go on the road in an atmosphere like that, it's, you gotta bring your A game. And he's done it every single week, despite what the defense does, despite what anybody does. He just balls. And I like what I've seen from him consistently making good decisions. And I just think that he's played the position better than anybody, and he's played it more consistent. Now listen, Justin Fields has a legitimate argument. Jalen Hurts has a legitimate argument, but I'm talking about if you're asking me to pick, Kevin, Justin Fields brings a different element in that offense that might be harder to stop, by the way. And Jalen Hurts brings a different element that might be harder to stop because he does it with his legs and his arm. They can't do what Burrow does with his arm in the passing game and the accuracy in the reads. They can't do that. And now he can't run like them. Now he's mobile enough to get outside the pocket and make plays and buy time. So I think stylistically it's hard to compare, you know, rap versus country and classical and who's the best at those different varieties. So in that same vein, it's hard to compare those guys. But Joe Burrow, as a quarterback surgically picking people apart, him and Tua have been the best when I watch them play the position at the quarterback position and throw the ball. It's been the best.
Now we'll learn a little bit more about LSU as well this weekend, because they've got a big matchup against Auburn. So I cannot wait to see how Burrow responds against that defense. It doesn't end for the Tigers as you look at their schedule. And as I've discussed here, November 9th, that showdown at Tuscaloosa. You mentioned Pruitt, and we had Herbie's thoughts here about how Pruitt handled the conversation
What did Garantano. He say, by the way?
He said that, listen, he's an old school guy. Yep. He understood. By the way, thanks for listening to the podcast on Monday. He's an old school guy. He understands what Jeremy's approach was. I think when you look at the optics, I was talking about the optics of where Tennessee is and what they're doing. But he said, understand the history of Garantano. Like, he doesn't know what exactly went down or what, if it was a misplay. We found it was a miscommunication. At least that's what Pruitt said. But he had no real problem with it because Garantano's been a guy that's been on and off with Pruitt. I brought up that when you have a guy like Pruitt who's leading a program where, you know, I think the microscope is all over him and how he handles things and a perception of is he in control. Listen, you could go off. I could see you could go off. But just in with today's generation of kids grabbing that face mask, whether it was strong or whether it was hard or not, yeah, can be misconstrued with kids these days. I want to get your thoughts. I'm not saying Pruitt was right or Pruitt was wrong. I'm just saying Pruitt just needs to be aware of the narrative around him because it's going to get blown up regardless.
I'm glad you broke that down for all of our listeners because everybody probably just tunes in when they know I'm on, probably not Herb Street because he's not that big of a deal. So I'm glad you gave Herb Street's thoughts, but you know, it's polarizing to me and it's interesting, like guys like Marcus Spears that get so upset with that. And I think there are other guys that have no problem with it at all. And I would be one of those guys, by the way. If he grabbed my face mask, I have no issue. I mean, again, if you grab your face mask and you twist that puppy and you get all up in the kitchen and you physically, you know, start to manipulate the face mask. I mean, that was like a tiny little tug. You know what I'm saying? Like it wasn't a malicious. I've had my face mask grabbed 10 times harder than that. And by the way, didn't say a word, you know, but it is the generational difference now is crazy. I'm a youth league football coach, man. And you see it with kids now and the way they respond to everything. And we're so much about feelings and how you view things. Yeah. And it's just a totally different thing. So if you're Pruitt, you need to be aware of it and make sure you don't do it just so you don't listen. He's got enough heat on his job anyways and enough people around him that's going to spew negativity because of how they've played. Now you can argue, I think that they've kind of turned the ship a little bit and kind of righted it the last couple of weeks with an SEC win against Mississippi State and now a competitive game against Bama. It wasn't a beat down. The circumstances obviously were different without Tua, but I think they competed and played hard. You just got to be aware of that stuff. And it's the world we live in now. You can't do stuff like that even remotely more. Otherwise people are going to get upset.
Now, my last point on Monday in that conversation with Herbie though was something you just brought up. Tennessee played really well for three quarters and that mishap in the fourth quarter, it's 28-13. They score, they get the 2-point conversion or whatever you want to do or how they play it. They're one possession away, right? Against Alabama and it changed the tie. Here's the problem. By Pruitt doing what he did, by just even that little touch of the helmet and the face mask, it changed the conversation and it became about behavior on the sidelines and it took away from the kids' performance of playing hard. And that's one of the biggest issues for Tennessee all season, right? Playing hard. Did they give up against Georgia State? Did they not give all their best here at the beginning of the season in some of these contests? And that's the shame of this whole thing, that we are talking about this on Wednesday and the behavior of the head coach and how he handles things instead of, hey man, Tennessee, maybe things are turning around because what we're seeing with them being engaged on the field the entire time. Wait, that's all.
All right.
And by the way, you brought one thing up. You coach 10 and 12 year olds. What's the toughest challenge in keeping them engaged right now?
Well, I think the toughest challenge for all of them is, you know, we have an ADD mentality and they're always on to the next. And I think every one of my kids every year, and listen, my teams are really good and they're really tough, but every kid will cry. You know, every kid will think that something's wrong with them. And I think giving them an understanding that every single play matters and that every rep matters. Like you have to compete as hard as you can. And to me, it's never about like, we don't worry about results. Results take care of themselves. You're not always going to be the best. You're not always going to win, but you have to learn that every play requires fight. And every play, by the way, there's a winner and loser. There's not a trophy at the end of the tunnel for everybody. And that's my biggest thing and my biggest stress is I don't care how you feel if you got beat. We got to keep going and you got to keep fighting and you can't quit and you can't let anything bother you because your effort and your attitude is all that matters, not the winning and losing.
You can coach my kids when they're ready to play. when they're 10. My seven year old talks about football every single night and he talks about, hey, when I get in the NFL and I'm like, I love this. I love that he talks about that. And that's
awesome, by the way. And you better, listen, parents out there, by the way, one of my biggest pet peeves is when parents tell a kid what they can and can't do. Don't let anybody tell you what you can't. You know what, Kevin? I said the same thing when I was 6 years old and 7 years old and 8 years old.
Yes.
And I got that little pat on the head. Hey, yeah, it's cute. Your dad's 5'11 and he's 180 pounds, which my dad is. And
yeah,
that's cute. Like, that's a nice little dream. Yeah. Don't let people tell you what you can and can't do. Don't let people tell your kids what they can and can't do.
Yeah, I'm right now, like, the cool thing is that all they want to do, the 7 and 5 year old, is have a catch in the house no matter what. We've got, like, hundreds of balls everywhere. We don't care. They clearly don't care about lampshades or furniture because my wife had to replace one the other day and she
made
the 5 year old
know. Did she get upset? How'd she handle it?
She made the 5 year old know, if you hit this one more time, you're going to catch me. And I was like, oh,
see, Kevin, that's bad parenting, by the way. I mean, just,
you tell my wife that.
But I'm not going to tell her that. She doesn't listen to the pod, so we're good. Neither is my wife. But here's the thing. I made it very clear, honey. Whatever you put in this house, whatever you choose to decorate the house with, balls are going to be flying everywhere. We are going to break things. So if you are going to buy something nice and it breaks, it's your fault, honey. Like, it's not, I'm just telling you now. So we made that very clear from the jump. You need to make that clear with the wifey and just be like, listen.
Well, no, honey. I told the wife, I said, listen, by you saying that, you know what it's going to do? I'm going to make sure my 5 year old's got a pretty nice arm. I'm like, let's work on his accuracy. Let's be mindful of his accuracy. That's a defender. You don't throw the ball in that area.
Okay, I'm with that. I like that.
And he's down with that. He actually loves that challenge. And we've got a lot of other rooms where we're like, all right, this is where the kids' room is. This is where you can literally do whatever you want. You don't need to throw this hard ball right now. And he's like, all right, I get it. And now my 3-year-old daughter, all she wants to do is have a catch with me. So I clear the kids to the side, the two boys, and I'm like, all right, me and her are going to have a catch. And she's like, I want to play football. I want to tackle.
Yeah.
And I'm like, go ahead, do whatever you want. We will figure all this out down the road. So to me, I'm with you, man. You tell your kids if they have a dream, no matter what it is, let's figure it out. You can do it because that's a big deal to me. Before we get into David's thoughts, since he's come through the tape from week 8, let's take a minute to hear from our sponsors, AT&T and Allstate. Yeah, college football is great unless, of course, it's just okay. Like when students decide to paint their chest with different letters to spell some word and then they stand together to get on TV but they're spelling the word wrong or they lined up in the wrong order. Sure, not everybody's an English major, and I get it. We can't all win the National Spelling Bee. But come on, people. You should know how to spell Wildcats or Bulldogs. The purpose isn't to have a word jumble in the student section to keep your mind sharp or something. Just okay is not okay, whether it's college football fans or your wireless network. You want to watch the best college football just like you want to go with AT&T, America's best network. Don't settle for typos on people's chests, and don't settle for anything less than the best wireless network. Get the best college football and get AT&T. Best network based on GWS One Score, September 2019.
Because mayhem on Saturdays in the fall is inevitable. Mayhem happens on the field, off the field, and in the polls. Mayhem lives on the wind, in the rain, on the foot of an errant kick, and during a trap game. You'll find mayhem in the parking lot, during tailgates, charcoal that's not totally out, an errant football through a window, a flat tire, a lost side view mirror, etc. You get the point. Allstate protects you from mayhem in the parking lot and outside it, at home and away. You can't stop mayhem from happening, but you can get better protected from it with Allstate. The potential for mayhem during the playoff race is rampant. Underdogs, trap games, unexpected weather, etc., etc., etc. Get better protected from mayhem with Allstate. Contact your local Allstate agent today. Now back to the show.
All right, what's a big deal to us here every Wednesday is you breaking down the film. And I want to know the unit you focused on when you were in your man cave the last 2 days to come out and you're like, wow, this stood out. What'd you see?
Wisconsin's defense. I think when you talk about how dominant they've been and you always wonder about, you know, competition level, and there's a couple of things that stick out. First of all, on the very positive note, Wisconsin's defense. Zach Bond's an animal. He rushes the passer off the edge. He's quick twitch. He's not like a he's not a slow cat. I mean, he's one of the quicker guys in the country, uses his hands really well. Chris Orr, 54 on the inside at linebacker. He's one of the top five. He might be the best pass rushing linebacker in college football. I mean, he blitzes with vitriol. Dude, he comes downhill in a hurry and you can tell he doesn't like people. Okay. I love linebackers that play the game. Like Jim Leonard does an amazing job with pass rush stunts and games and fire zones. And he does a really, really good job of doing that. But the thing that I take away from it, Kevin, is the first touchdown for Illinois. It's a long touchdown pass. I think it was an RPO to the left side of the screen, and Wisconsin takes a bad angle and the cornerback misses a tackle and the safety misses a tackle. And I go, Ohio State's going to do that. You watch Peters run the zone read with the backfield, and Peters is not a fleet of foot guy for Illinois. And you watch him pull and you watch him go get 10 yards or 12 yards on a couple scrambles, had a couple nice scrambles. And I go, that's not Justin Fields. And you watch their last touchdown, really. It was a great run up the middle for Illinois. It was a zone read. It pauses and keeps the safety out wide. Bond's flying down to try to cut off, and you could tell right up the gut, missed tackle, boom. 43-yard touchdown run for Illinois. These are all things that Wisconsin really struggled with that Ohio State's gonna do, except for do on a higher level with a lot better players. So I'm very interested to see this defense this week. If they can find a way to slow down the run game just a little bit and get Ohio State in passing situations and really unload the blitzes and unload the packages, they have a chance. But they had a 75-yard touchdown on a double move to, they got called back for an illegal man downfield that could have made it even worse. So I think Wisconsin's defense was advertised as the best in the country, and the numbers showed that. After watching the tape, I don't agree with that. And I think this week is going to be a huge test for them athletically. Can they match up with Fields and Dobbins and those receivers on the outside?
I just see Fields breaking and busting like a 40 or 50 yard run in a game like this, and Dobbins getting a 30 or 40 yard touchdown run. It's just not good. It's not a good recipe for Wisconsin. I can't wait to see how Ryan Day has a scheme here and runs his offense the way he does. Because listen, Ryan Day a year ago blew me away what that game plan was against Michigan. Remember all that hype with that defense coming in with Michigan and Don Brown, and Ryan Day was ready. man, like he knew what to do, and he pressed all the right buttons. I can't wait to see how that matchup is with the Ohio State offense.
Can we flip it real quick to one other thing I saw that I really liked? Michigan's offense, by the way. It's the best I've seen Michigan's offense look in some time. I left the game and then I went and watched the tape, and after watching it, it's the best I've seen Shea Patterson play in a long time. His pocket awareness. Yeah, his pocket. And again, I was there. It was 110,000 people. It was loud. It was a slow start. It was sluggish and they didn't look good to start, but man, his pocket presence was better. His anticipation was better. He was 7-9 on third downs, Kevin. Like he was efficient. He was scrambling. And then Michigan's defense, man, they held Penn State to 283 yards total and 80 yards in the second half, but just gave up those big plays to KJ Hamler in the slot that they didn't have an answer for that killed them. But man, they ran 82 plays to Penn State's 54. And if they don't get down early and shoot themselves in the foot, it's a more interesting game. But I will say this, now you spin it forward, Michigan versus Notre Dame. All the talk, by the way, of Michigan on the road and versus ranked teams with Jim Harbaugh, noted record that's really terrible. I think 1-9 now for Harbaugh.
Yeah.
Brian Kelly's 2-10, bro. He's 2-10 on the road against ranked teams in his tenure. And by the way, one of them was your Temple Owls that was overrated. So that doesn't even count. Throw that out there. I'm just saying, like, this is an interesting matchup. I don't know who the favorite is, and we'll talk about that, you know, on Friday. But I came away more impressed with Michigan on the season than I've seen them this season. They look more at ease and more comfort and more what they wanted to do.
The way they looked in that second half, because Patterson was so decisive, I said this on Monday, that if Ronnie Bell makes that catch, I actually think Michigan's going to win in overtime. You could feel the momentum and you could feel that entire place in the second half just change, right? I mean, you were there. I felt it on TV. How did you feel like that? And that environment from that first half to the second half, a completely different thing.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy. It was nuts that they were able to possess the ball and especially against a salty Penn State defense, make plays and him evade the rush. And the only thing I don't like about this breakdown stuff, Kevin, is now I've broken down all this stuff for you to help you make your picks. I just don't like that. Like it just, it's a competitive event. Yeah, like you easily would have picked Notre Dame in this matchup. Easily. I mean, I don't think there's any doubt.
No.
Yes, you would have. 100%.
You want to know why?
Change your pick on Friday and it's going to be Michigan and I'm picking Michigan because I just broke down why you should pick Michigan.
Do you want to know why I'm a little hesitant about this whole game? Cause you mentioned it earlier. You don't know the line. How about Michigan being favored for this game? Like, the line has dropped. It went from 2.5 to 1.5 to 1, and it may change by the end of the week, but like, that line scares the heck out of me if I'm touching Notre Dame. For Michigan to be favored, you know everybody's taking Notre Dame in the points right now. We will get to that breakdown and those picks on Friday. Can't wait to talk about that, and then we'll talk about a bet and we'll resolve all that issue. All right, sit tight. We're about to hear who takes home the honor of being David's dude this week. But first, a word from our sponsors, Goodyear and Dr. Pepper.
Sometimes for inspiration, you just have to look up. For more than 60 years, the Goodyear blimp has fueled greatness on the gridiron by providing aerial coverage of some of the most legendary moments in college football history. When the Goodyear blimp rises above a stadium, it inspires players to reach higher and rise to the challenge of the game's biggest moments. Now it's your turn to go further with Goodyear. Discover tires made to rise above the rest. Learn more at Goodyear.com. Goodyear, more driven.
Make sure to tune in to my new favorite TV show, Fansville, presented by Dr. Pepper, returning every Saturday throughout the college football season during the commercials. Fansville is the only show that stars Dr. Pepper, puts the spotlight on fans, and perfectly captures the emotional roller coaster that is the college football season. Critics are saying it's good, fantastic, is anyone else thirsty, and literally the best thing since Diet Dr. Pepper and Dr. Pepper Cherry. In Fansville, Dr. Pepper delivers a tour de force performance alongside legendary college football co-stars Brian the Boz Bosworth and Eddie George. Experience the pain, the passion, and the deliciousness of college football fandom this fall on Fansville, presented by Dr. Pepper. So pull over, veer right, slant left, do what you gotta do to get to your local store and pick up some refreshing ice-cold Dr. Pepper, the official drink of Fansville. And hey, while you're at it, don't be afraid to go for two. Before we wrap up this Wednesday podcast, who's your dude of the week?
I've given it to defensive players every single week. And I really wanted to give it, I really wanted to go, like, retroactively go back and give it to KJ Hamler. Cause by the way, without KJ Hamler, there's no way in heck Penn State wins the game. I mean, think about that. You had a kickoff return that also gets called back, but he was the only offense. He was a big play. Even late in the game, you know what? I'm going to give it to him. Even late in the game, you think about it, Kevin. This is a wide receiver, by the way, that's slightly built. Okay. He is not a big dude. And, they needed a first down, Kevin, late in the game on third and short to ice this and to win. And they bring KJ Hamler in the backfield and give him the ball. And he lowers his shoulder and falls forward, puts two hands on the football and runs it and takes care of business and preserves the win for Penn State. Like, that's a dude to me, man. I mean, every facet of the game, he's a big play machine. He's just a dude. And I'm going to give him to my first offensive player dude of the week to KJ Hamler and what he daggum did.
That's a great pick, and that third down was so critical, and he was not afraid to go in between the tackles on a play like that. He took a massive hit. Where would you put KJ in the conversation? Because I feel like the Alabama guys, those three, four guys are so electric. The Clemson guys, they got all that Sunday talent, CeeDee Lamb. Like, where would you put KJ Hamler among these, this group of talent that we're going to see play on Sundays?
And see, that's another reason that this conversation is hard to have. He has never played with the quarterback play like Tua. He has never played with Trevor Lawrence. Like, I don't know about some of those things about his game. He's better with the ball in his hands than any of those guys you mentioned. He can make, in the Iowa game, he made three people miss in a space of 2 yards. It was absolutely stupid. I mean, it's unbelievable. Now, he doesn't have the size, but I bet you he's a 4.3 guy. I bet you he runs faster than, you know what? He's Ruggs-esque, but I think a little bit more, dynamic. But if you played in that Alabama offense, he'd be right there with all of them. I think he'll be the first or second, wide receiver taken. I think he'll be taken over most of those guys that we talk about just because of the punt return ability, the kick return ability, the home run ability to take the top off of defense. But also I get the ball in your hands right now in the new age NFL. I get the ball. I spit it to you on the perimeter right now and you can make big plays. You think about him with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, somebody like that. It's just the new NFL. I think he's the type of guy that is going to be one of the first or second receivers off the board.
Can't wait. We'll see the latest Mel Kiper big board and where a guy like him would land. And, you know, we talked about two guys. Joe Burrow, I'm sure, is shooting up that chart. You talk about all the other quarterbacks like Herbert and Eason, of course, Tua Tagovailoa. And we'll get to the Herbert conversation on Friday because I want to get your thoughts about one loss Oregon in the Pac-12 once again. And we'll make all those picks on Friday and I will settle that bet. I'm not looking forward to that.
So amazing.
Where I have to say some nice things.
You don't have to. You're just going to speak the truth, Kevin. Yeah. You're going to speak truth in words of wisdom.
No,
that's what you're going to say.
I have no choice. I repay my bets and I lost the bet. So now I have to lie to America on the podcast. Take it. Paul, I appreciate it, buddy.
All right, bud.
Want to thank our sponsors, Allstate, AT&T, Dr. Pepper, and Goodyear. Also our producer on the other side, Taylor Schwenk. And check out our brand new podcast, ESPN Daily, hosted by Mina Kimes. I love this thing. Monday through Friday, she takes a look at the most interesting stories at ESPN in just 20 minutes. Listen and subscribe now to ESPN Daily wherever you find your podcasts. And a reminder to our loyal listeners, you can submit questions that Herbie will answer on Monday's podcast. Just leave a 5-star review on Apple Podcasts with your questions, and the best questions will make the air. Looking forward to making our picks on Friday and maybe just pushing Pollock a little bit more and casting another bet if we have a difference of opinion. I think there's one game I got circled that we're going to be on the other side heading into the weekend. Looking forward to it. Talk to you on Friday.